With the end of the war in Europe in sight, the West was busily identifying which weapons and which scientists from Nazi Germany they'd want to capture, partially to ensure that the weapons and biological and chemical weapons didn't fall into the wrong hands, i.e. the Russians, and also because they had plans to use the scientists to bring forward American development of their own weapons. And while President Truman promised, crossed his heart, scout's honour, that no serious Nazi scientists would be brought to America, that turned out to be utter twaddle. Kelly Rimmer is the author of 12 books of contemporary and historical fiction, and she appears on the New York Times bestseller list quite often. Her latest book is called The German Wife, and it tells the story of one German family from the rise of Hitler to the German husband's rise up through the ranks to his position as a rocket scientist, and what happens when he ends up in Huntsville, Alabama. Kelly, welcome to Late Night Live. Where did you come across the story?
I actually discovered the original idea for this book when I was visiting Parkes, of all places, Parkes, New South Wales, to attend a commemoration of the moon landing in 2019. And in one of the marquees there, you know, there was a bit of a fair, I saw this exhibit about the history of the US space program. And that exhibit mentioned that from 1950, US scientists worked with German scientists to develop the vehicles that would ultimately see mankind reach space and the moon. And I've written several World War II novels, and I thought to myself, my goodness, how on earth were there German and American scientists working together so quickly after the war? And that curiosity led me to this book.
And, of course, you got access to files of which are no longer classified. You couldn't have written the book a couple of decades ago.
That's certainly true. It is, you know, more and more we are learning about the evolution of the program and the men and women involved. And it would have been an impossible book to write once upon a time because we just wouldn't have known what was hidden.
Well, I'm of an age to remember the fellow who is in effectively your central character. But take us back to the beginning of Operation Paperclip. It sounds so innocuous.
It really does, doesn't it? I mean, it was conducted by the Joint Intelligence Objectives Agency, which is a US agency, and there was this mad rush happening in Germany after the war, and it was the Americans and the French and the British and, of course, the Soviets, and everybody wanted the cream of the crop of scientists because, of course, the Nazis had made astounding scientific progress, often at a cost of ethics and humanity, but they had learnt so much in they had developed these particularly weapons that were just unimaginable only a few years before.
Well, of course, the V2 rockets on which von Braun worked so successfully were raining down on London. Well, over 1,000, as I recall.
Yes, there were several thousand of them that were launched against London and Antwerp. And they were again, rocketry was something that the world had never seen used in this way before, and nobody else knew how to defend against them. I mean, they were supersonic, which was just this astounding concept. How do you defend against a weapon you can't even hear coming, you know? So,
yeah. Now, you focus on scientists working in the rocket area, but they weren't the only ones, were they? There were engineers and doctors and physicists and chemists. Did they go to the West willingly?
Well, you know, in lots of cases, it was a matter of they were captured and sometimes imprisoned. They weren't allowed to leave, but they were often avoiding trial. And so the choices were, you know, go to the US or wherever and utilize your skills and knowledge and maybe one day become a citizen. Or I guess if you kicked up enough of a stink, stay in Germany and face the consequences of what you had seen or been involved in through the war. So I don't think anyone was complaining too much, to be honest.
So no to Nuremberg, yes to the United States. Mm. How many of them could be technically classified as Nazis, Kelly?
Well, one account I read suggested as many as 80% of the 1600 to 1800 scientists taken to the US were members of the Nazi Party at some point.
Now, of course, Truman had said that none of the scientists who were members of the party would be allowed in. But, of course, they just, smudged the documentation.
Yes, the Americans, you know, basically from Truman down, there was this not conspiracy, but quiet agreement to rewrite the history of these men. And there were dossiers written which painted them out to be saints. You know, they had somehow survived the Nazi years completely unscathed morally, which was impossible.
I suppose Truman didn't have much choice because he would have been pressured enormously by the Pentagon.
Absolutely. And can you imagine the competitiveness between the Soviets and the US, particularly when it came to reaching space, reaching the moon? There was no way the Americans weren't going to take some of these men.
Kelly, how many significant scientists did the Russians get? Do we know that?
Yes. So they actually took 2,200 scientists. And interestingly, they evacuated them all from Germany in a single night. There was just this mad panic to get them out of the country. Yes, there was a huge operation. That's right.
It sounds like Dunkirk.
Yes.
And they got them all out back to Moscow.
Yes. I mean, you know, this is in the time when there are these stories about the French kidnapping a scientist who was crossing the road because they were concerned that the Brits were going to get him. And, you know, it really is impossible to overstate the tension between even the Allies when it came to these men.
Well, the triumph of Operation Paperclip was, of course, the aforementioned Wernher von Braun. First, his work in Germany and the metalwork factory. Tell us about Wernher.
Well, he was the prize. He was a prize pig. Everybody wanted him and the Americans got him. He actually surrendered to them. He wanted to go to America. He felt that he was quite confident, actually, that he would be offered kind of a pardon if he were to go with the Americans. But he was a member of the Nazi Party and actually an officer in the SS. But this didn't actually come to light and certainly wasn't public knowledge until long after his death.
Now, tell us about his original factory got bombed by the Allies, and so they moved the factory and rebuilt it underground in that massive complex of tunnels.
That's correct, yeah. So he had been working out of Peenemünde, which was an island off the coast of Germany, and that was bombed by the Allies and cost, you know, significant amount of progress, and the kind of fledgling V2 factory was damaged too. And so there was this immense operation to move it across Germany and into this old gypsum mine in this hill kind of near Nordhausen. And that was again, an immense undertaking, and it was done. Hitler had been a little reluctant to believe in the possibility of the V2 rocket until he saw a video of a launch, and then he ordered thousands of them to be produced immediately. Unfortunately, fortunately for the rest of the world, they weren't reliably working as yet, and so he was basically instructing the rocket program to do the impossible. And they set up this huge production line in these tunnels and then staffed it with slave labor. Staffed is the wrong word. They ran it with slave labor.
Well, it turned out to be an extermination camp because you tell us around 40,000 workers died there during the production, more than were killed by rockets in warfare.
Yeah, it's actually really difficult to get an exact number. It was certainly in tens of thousands of men, mostly prisoners, died through poor sanitation and disease and murder and torture and then just worked to death. And the rockets themselves probably killed less than 10,000, even at a generous estimate. It really was. One account I read suggested something like, with a few small improvements, the production line would have been much less a factory of death, but it was a conscious choice by the Nazis to work these men to death.
No wonder von Braun wanted to cut a deal to avoid Nuremberg.
This
is just mountains of war crimes. Now, thanks to Operation Paperclip, he settled in Huntsville, Alabama, where the truth of his wartime naughtiness was cleared, and went on to that spectacular career.
Yes, and became an American hero. We even consulted for Disney, and generally, I mean, he's a household name.
I'm sorry, I didn't know about the consultant to Disney. Please explain.
Oh, yes. So Disney was doing a series about space and he worked closely with Walt Disney to get the details right about what space travel would be like. And he was regularly appearing on American TV screens at one point.
So, okay, he's an American hero was the head of NASA for a while.
That's correct.
I'm sorry, yes. That's gobsmacking. He actually, the Nazi got to run the NASA program, got to be its architect.
That's right. And, you know, whenever he was pressed by the Americans about things like, there were some accounts that emerged about him observing torture or executions, or, you know, that he had maybe ordered a torture of a prisoner, or had at one point there was a suggestion that he may have ordered the execution of some prisoners who were suspected of sabotage. And he always said, no, no, it's a case of mistaken identity. And, oh, no, no, I was forced to see some things, but I didn't condone them. He certainly had a very complex relationship with the Nazi Party. He didn't actually join until 1937. And, you know, having read about the rise of the party and the way that the control gradually became absolute, it does suggest that perhaps he wasn't enthusiastic about the ideology, but he certainly was complicit just by his participation at Middlewerk.
Okay, let's go to Huntsville, Alabama. It's a world away from Berlin. What was it like in 1950, Kelly?
Well, as you know, the American South well and truly segregated in 1950. So it was actually a dying small town. You know, young people were moving away for work and it was gradually shrinking. And that Huntsville itself had actually bid for a military aviation project but lost out. And instead they were given something of a consolation prize, which was the rocket program, which would be run out of Redstone Arsenal in Huntsville. And 118 German rocket scientists had arrived there by 1950.
Now, we're talking about a place with unemployment running at 50% and often obscured by the dust storms of the Dust Bowl years.
That's right. So, you know, the Great Depression had well and truly ripped through American society like the rest of the world. And lots of the people, the American neighbours to these Germans, would have endured the most unimaginable conditions through the Depression, as well as probably others served in the military, maybe even served in Europe, or maybe lost brothers or sons, or, you know, this was a town that was highly traumatized.
Kelly, your book is set in 1950. The war's still fresh in everyone's mind, if not the gruesome details about the paperclip mob. But there must have been difficulties for the families integrating. We're talking about a time, of course, there was no integration of black and white.
Oh, absolutely. So it was a town where you would see coloureds only in the window or whites only in the window. And the Germans came and some people welcomed them, but other people put up a German, no Germans in this store signs in the window. So it was very much a mixed response to the new locals.
I like the story you tell about them being put, all of them, all the families, in a suburb known as Sauerkraut Hill.
Yes, that's correct. It was a block in the town where they all kind of, you know, for moral support and so that the children could, you know, have the support because, of course, the families of the German scientists eventually came over too. But I can imagine that for the rest of Huntsville, that must have been quite confronting to have a whole block of Germans living amongst them.
So they're all at Sauerkraut Hill. They're keeping each other's secrets and they had a lot of secrets to keep.
That's very true. That's very true. I mean, of course, many of these men actually worked at Middlewerk and they had seen each other's sins and each other's crimes. And so it was kind of mutually assured destruction. No one was going to betray anyone else's secret because they had their own secret to keep.
What a marvellous term to use in this context.
I know.
Mutually assured destruction, otherwise known as MAD. Were any of this mob brought to America under Operation Paperclip ever tried for war crimes?
It's actually really interesting. There are a handful who were investigated. Famously, Arthur Rudolph managed the Saturn V program, but he had a real fervour for Nazi ideology even after he arrived in the US, but he wasn't investigated until 9 years after his arrival. He had been operations director at Mittelwerk. So he, you know, there was some question about whether or not he was, you know, consciously choosing to torture these men. He, like with von Braun, claimed that he had been forced to observe some of the things that he was charged with. And originally the Americans kind of dropped the investigation and he became a citizen and went on to work on rockets for a long time. But after he retired, they investigated him again, which suggests to me that it was kind of a convenient time to investigate him now that he was no longer of use. He was ultimately deported to West Germany, but was able to keep his pension and US Social Security benefits.
Heavens above. Is there still a German community?
There is, yeah. So Huntsville has, you know, a real German flavor to some parts. But I mean, now it's a real technology hub. It's a town of a city of 170,000 people, with the America's highest concentration of scientists and engineers live in Huntsville now. It's full of high tech giants like Siemens and LG and even Boeing. But there's also schnitzel houses, and there's a beer garden and German bands. I mean, the German culture has kind of been assimilated.
Kelly, you're remarkable. Thank you very much.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much.
Kelly Rimmer, author of The German Wife, published by Hachette. And as you can see, her research has been formidable.
ABC RN helps you understand the world. Find more of our stories on the ABC Listen app.